What a lovely day, and it's good to be here in God's house this morning. We just praise him for his grace and his love to us. And I just love those choruses that we sang, Kayleen. They were just absolutely awesome. I'm ringing a little bit. Okay. Father God, we just thank you that we can come this morning and give you praise, and we can give you thanks for all things, Lord, for you are our God and we are your people. And we thank you and praise you, Father, that we've been able to sing and give you thanks, and for the words that came forth this morning from you, your Lord, that your Holy Spirit led and directed those words, Father. I pray that they would sink into hearts, Lord God, not just to ears, but to hearts, that you would strengthen each one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Just a little funny thing that I heard the other day, and it really got me. There was a gentleman who was on his way home from a meeting, and he was driving down the freeway in his car, and suddenly his phone rang, and thankfully he had hands free, so he answered the phone, and there was an urgent voice on the end. It was his wife. And she said, Herman, I just heard on the news that there's a car going the wrong way down the freeway. Please be careful, dear. Herman answered back, be careful, you've got no idea. It's not one, but there's hundreds of them going the wrong way. So how we can be caught up in things and not realise what we're doing. We pray that it would never be us. But sadly, people do get confused, don't they? And you know, we've all come this morning into this place, and we're all pleased to be here. There's quite a few away because it's a long weekend. But it's good that we could make it here this morning. And we've all come with different needs, different ideas. Some of us come in full of praise and thankfulness to God for all that he's done for us. But in a mix of that, there can be difficulties and solutions. We live in a world where there are many things that can try us, and things that can even come in unexpected. We can get up in the morning and start the day off thinking that everything's just going to be wonderful, and within a little while things can go wrong, very, very wrong. And it depends on how we look at those things, doesn't it, as to how we go. And so there's another little story of a preacher who had a horse who'd been very faithful to him, but he was wanting to sell this horse, and a potential buyer came to test ride the horse. Now today we'd be selling vehicles, wouldn't we? But this was a horse. And so the preacher said to him, before you start, this horse has been doing the Lord's business, and so it only understands Christian talk. So if you want the horse to move, you say praise the Lord, and if you want the horse to stop, you say amen. So the man looked a bit puzzled and said it a couple of times so he didn't get it wrong. And he got on the horse, and the horse started to move slowly. He said, praise the Lord. And the horse started to go along. And then he said, praise the Lord. So the horse got up into a canter. So the man was very, very happy as they trotted along. But suddenly he came along and there was a cliff in front of him, and he said, amen, amen. And the horse just stopped. And the man looked and thought, goodness, that was lucky. And he got out his handkerchief and wiped his forehead, and he said, praise the Lord. I'll leave it to your imagination. So we need to know that praise the Lord is always for good things. It is always for our best. And so today I want to talk about the reasons why we should praise the Lord. And we're going to look at some of the things. And as I said, many of us come along, and we all have issues in our life, don't we? We all have difficulties. And this morning we heard that lovely chorus, open my eyes, O God, open my heart to see all the wonders and the power of your name. And as we heard wonderfully in the communion this morning, as Elder Lewis brought about this great love, this love that came to give us all. And we so often get so caught up in our own minds about what love means, and we think about this love as an emotional love, as a love that we would feel, but it's a, a love beyond that. And that's why we as Christians need to go further, and we need to get into and allow the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and really allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the enormity and the magnitude of this love. That, you know, even when we sing sometimes about Jesus when he went to the cross, that you were on his mind. Well, what was on Jesus' mind was to be obedient to the Father, who we were on his mind. And so Jesus knew that if he went to the cross and gave his life, he'd fulfill the will of his Father, and therefore we would come into this awesome inheritance of life eternal. Is that awesome? And so they're the things that we need to be centering our hearts on, so that we will understand more about this great God. You know, my heart is to study the Word of God, and I do that very, very much. But we can never exhaust this word. There is so much in it. Just one word, one sentence, one line can take us into the realms of deeper and deeper, deeper study, because we can never exhaust the Word of God. We need to have a high view of God. And you see, the thing is, I was thinking, and I was going to bring it, but I hadn't sent it previously to Jeremy to break it down. Then I realised he wouldn't be here this morning. But have any of you seen, I know Antoinette said it to me, and other people have, my son as well, have you ever seen the outworking that they've done now of the galaxy, and seen the size of the moon and the stars, and just seen how small our Earth is in comparison to the galaxy? And you know, they're finding now that when, you know, the Father God said to Abraham about the stars and about the grains of sand, well, they're finding out that our Earth is just like a grain of sand in the outer form of the galaxy. And even the system that we can see, the stars that we can see, is just a very small portion of the greater, wider source of the galaxy. And so when we think of those things, it just helps us in a small way comprehend the awesomeness of this God who created every one of us. And you know, when we have troubles and trials, we often centre on crying out to God, "Help me, Lord. Deal with this, deal with that," when if we just centred on how big God was, if we just centred on the magnitude of God, if we would just praise God, we would find that a lot of these things would dissipate. God, sometimes we think that God created us so that he would be there for us. But it's really that we're there for God. Not that God needed us, but it was God's desire for relationship. God is a relational God, and God created us to have relationship with him, that he would be our loving Father and we would look to him and not be like children today. You know, our system is so different, isn't it, that our children look to their parents. And that's right. But when they get older, the idea is that they grow up and they go out and make lives of their own. There's always a respect and a love for the parents, but they no longer look to the parents in that way. And sometimes we judge that as our relationship with God. We think, well, okay, I've needed you, God, while I've been growing and getting myself set in your word, but now I'm old enough, I know you're there and I love you and I can call you out if I need you, but I can do this myself. That's wrong. There must always be a dependency. Our heart must always be turned to God firstly, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then we will love our neighbour. Then we will love other things. But we get it the other way round. You know, no matter what happens in your life today, God is still on his throne. It says in Isaiah 6:1 that God is on the throne. No matter what happens, we get so fixed on our problems, don't we, that we wonder where God is. But God hasn't changed. We read in Acts, don't we, about Paul and Silas, when they were out doing God's will, serving God with all of their heart, and they were taken and captured, they were beaten and thrown into prison and put into stocks and bonds. Now, it was no good Paul and Silas sitting there complaining and saying, "God, where are you?" They knew that God knew where they were because they were doing his will. But you see, once the emotions get in, we think, "Oh my God, I was doing your will and now you failed me. This isn't what I expected to happen." Well, of course, if we're going into the enemy's territory, there's going to be opposition. And so Silas got into the Holy Spirit, and they started to praise and worship God. Not through gritted teeth, thinking, I have to do this because that's what God wants. They allowed the Holy Spirit to stir their heart, to lift them. And so it was, once they got into that situation, in their hearts, in their spirit, they weren't in chains, they were free. Because really, we are free. In whatever state I'm in, there I should be content because I am free. What man can do to the body is not a big thing. No one can touch the Spirit of God. No one can touch the inner being of me. No one can touch my faith. That's mine. And in fact, when we get into difficulties and we have problems, that's when that faith should arise the greater. That's when we should feel the stronger. You know, we sang that chorus, the enemy is under my feet, we are free. Or if we personalise that, the enemy's under my feet, I'm free. Why am I free? I'm only free if I praise him in that situation. If I praise the Lord, then I'm free. Then the enemy is under my feet. You see, Satan is jealous of God. He's always been jealous of God, and that's what caused him to be cast out of heaven. And so he'll do anything to make you feel despondent because he knows that praise is the power of heaven. Praise is the power that overcomes his darkness. Praise is the power that causes him to free. Praise is the power that causes us to overcome and stand in the victory that Jesus Christ died to give us. Amen. Praise, praise is the power. And yet so often we struggle with that. We struggle because we see our problems as insurmountable. We see our difficulties as bigger than everything else, and we forget that God is still on the throne. No matter what covers the path that God has placed before me, I don't have to think I've got to look for the path. I've got to look ahead and put down my feet and know that in front of me that path is there, whether I can see it or not. It's not what we can see. It's what is birthed within our spirit. It's what the Lord says that is true that we need to hold on to and cling to. If we could fully see the impact in heaven when we praise, we would never struggle to praise again. All of the angels in heaven get involved. They're waiting. It's like there's a heavenly realm waiting for you to praise. Do you know that, I'm sure you have, I was saying in ladies the other day, have you ever felt small? Because I have. And you feel as if there's no one there and no one's watching, and suddenly the power of the Spirit comes upon you and says, no matter how little you are, no matter how hidden you feel you are, I see you. I see you. The God who sees me in every situation, every walk, in every problem, in every trial. And then my heart lifts and my spirit rises and I praise the Lord. And then it's almost like I hear this chorus of angels joining in and praising God. And God's heart is blessed. And so then I am blessed because he's lifted me. He's lifted me out of that situation. While my physical may be there, my spirit is above. And you see, when the time comes that God calls me home, I don't take this physical, I take the spirit. And that's what God wants to continually renew in me, to raise me up from glory to glory, to raise you up so that you might see these things. You know, praise changes our spiritual climate. Change will bring us encouragement. Change will, praise will change things. When you get out of bed and you feel grumpy, start to praise God. You know, God is longing every morning when we open our eyes for us to praise him, to thank him, because we have so much to thank him for. Praise crucifies pride. You know, we as human beings struggle with pride. Even though we've come to Christ, there's still that pride issue. You know, sometimes the Lord will say to me, watch it, Pat, it's coming in. We like to think that we're pretty special or we've done something pretty special. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't accept when someone says, oh, that's good, you made a nice job of that cake, or you fixed that car, or my husband did a great job the other day, he put a new door on our back, and I was just full of praise to him. And that's not to bring pride, that's appreciation. And so we need to have that and accept that. But you know what I mean about the pride of thinking that I'm pretty good and really I'm a bit better than you are. That's got to be cut away. Once we praise God, that pride goes. Living a life of praise is an enjoyable thing. It lifts us. It lifts us spiritually. It lifts us physically. If you've got issues with your body, praise God. And you see, it's not just that we praise God to get. We praise God because of who he is. What God wants for us is that we will really get a picture of you within our spirit, because it's not a mind thing. But obviously our mind comes into play, that we start to see. Have you ever gone out in the night for no other reason but just to go out and look at the stars and just see the enormity of the wonder of just a little bit that we can see? And you know, so many things that happen around us. And as I've said, praise affects the enemy. It affects him. It pushes him away. But it affects God. It fills the heart of God with joy. There's 150 verses in scripture about praise. And so we know that it's very important. And so the lack of praise affects your negativity. It affects the way you think. It affects the way the devil gets loose into your life. Nearly everyone would agree that praise is good, but very few of us take the responsibility. You know, the Word of God shows us very clearly that we're to rejoice in everything. If we don't live lives that are constantly giving thanksgiving and praise to God, we're not spiritually healthy. And the Word of God tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that every part of us is to be God toward. We are to be toward God, honouring him. And then we will know what it means to be spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy, and physically healthy. The Lord says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul said it twice so that we would get it, so that we would understand. Paul lived and preached those things in his own life. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have joy. For the fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And you know, we think, and I've said it before, in Galatians it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on, and self-control. And so we think, oh, well, we'll work on these things one at a time, but it's one fruit with nine flavours. We cannot have one thing without the other. If we know love, then we will know self-control, because they're all interactive. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not fruits to be sectioned up. And so when we have this fruit, and then we have this joy, we have this self-control, and we have this ability to be overcomers in all things. I've learned in my life the absolute amazing power of praise. And you see, when praise is most significant, when praise is most powerful, is when we're in a difficult situation. Many years ago, we were told that our son would not live, that medically there was nothing more that could be done for him. I was with him in Perth. John was back in Newman trying to get a plane to get down to us. And it was just awesome, the prayer that had gone on in my heart, I know, with John, and people were praying around, and our son was in a very bad way and in incredible pain. And the Spirit of the Lord just said to me, praise me. Just praise me. And I went into this thing of praise, so much so that the nurses were watching me and they thought that I'd cracked up or something. But I'd really got into a heavenly realm. And the Lord showed me to praise him no matter what. And you see, man said, it's over. And I wasn't even praising God to say, give me back my son. But I came into this place that whatever happened, as Paul says, if I live, I die. Praise the Lord. Because you see, it's God's will and it's his purpose. Whatever God does is best. And so I know and believe that because of that praise and that attitude, and it was incredible, because it really wasn't possible with the pain and what Gary was going through. He opened his eyes and looked at me and started to praise God. He said, God is doing something wonderful. And he was 11 years old. And God touched his heart. And wonderfully, miraculously, he was healed. Now, many people are not, but they go to be with the Lord. Following on from that, John and I have been praying for, we pray for families in missionary areas, personal people we know. And there's a young couple we've been praying for from about the middle of last year over in Papua New Guinea. They have two children and doing an incredible work over there. And 3 weeks ago we got a message to say to really pray for the wife because she had some sort of bug, some tropical bug, and that they were needing to bring her to Australia to hospital, which they did. And the husband and children came over with her. She went into hospital and they did tests. And when they got there, they were absolutely amazed. They found a huge inoperable tumour. And the doctors were quite astounded as to how she'd only just started to feel symptoms or had acknowledged them and how she'd been keeping going. And so they told her husband that she would have 6 to 8 months to live. And so he wrote this beautiful letter to say that she was in hospital and they were stabilising her pain and getting her ready to come home, and how they were really looking to this time to enjoy one another and make the most of what they had, but how they are praising God for his faithfulness, praising God that he'd found the situation, that she could be given pain relief, but they believed that in praising God he was going to keep her until he made his mind up what he was going to do. So it was a total surrender, and it just brought me to tears. And then on Thursday I received an email to say, sadly, the Lord had taken her so quickly. So from 3 weeks, there was a week she was told she had this brain tumour, and then it was only 2 weeks and she was still in hospital, and they were trying to balance out pain things. And he'd been in with her that day, and he went home to get the children some dinner, and they rang him to go straight back. This was on Thursday, and she'd already gone with a smile on her face. And he said, it's quicker than we expected, but we praise God and we want you to praise God with us for her life and the fact that she is now reigning in glory with our Saviour and free from all things, and to give praise and thanks for all she'd been to him, to their children and to the ministry. And such an awesome, awesome thing. We just don't know. But you see, we get so caught up, and we get so caught up with this world and what this world offers, and we think that's all there is. I remember when I was only a child, I couldn't bear, because I was brought up with a lot of violence and fear, and I couldn't bear to hear the news come on the radio. It filled me with fear, because when I was a child, I was born around the Second World War, but there were still rumours of arguments and fighting and the mopping up and all that sort of thing. And I remember I was only about 6 years old, and I would try to make an excuse to go out of the room when the news came on, because I was full of fear, because I'd been brought up in fear. And I remember one night, I think I was only about 6 or 7, and going outside, and it's interesting, I used to love to go out and look up at the stars and not realise that there was a God. But I remember thinking to myself about death, and I couldn't comprehend that if I died, how could the world go on without me? How can things just keep going if I'm not here? It's just not. And then I was come out in this sweat and this fear, and it was, don't think about it. And you see, sometimes people are like that. They just can't comprehend, because they're not into the purpose and the plans of God, and don't understand that it's, as Pastor John said, it's, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, for an eternity. That our life goes on, and it's all part of God's purpose. Age is part of God's purpose. When you have a birthday, don't feel glum and miserable. Praise God. Another year that God's given you to live. Another year to be able to look back and see all the awesome things that he's done in your life and the beautiful memories you have. It's such an awesome thing. And so we need to be praise-filled people. You know, God, as I said, created us for relationship. And if we're not in relationship with him, I'm not talking about just thinking about him and thanking him when he does something good for us, or going to him when we've got a problem and we're just crying out to him to fix the problem, because God's not a fix it. God's got a bigger purpose than that. You see, get the message. God already sees where you are. If I'm in a difficulty, if my life plunders into something, if my health is bad or whatever, of course we need to pray. God calls us to. But do it with an understanding that God already knows. I'm his. He already knows what I'm feeling and where I am. And he already knows what he's going to do about it. And so we need to go with him with a trust. But you see, if we don't have that deeper relationship, because we've been created for a relationship, we will bond a relationship with something else. And we see that in our world today, don't we? In fact, it really concerns me at times when I think of you younger people, about the things you battle. We were talking last night at we went to Cherie, our granddaughter's 18th birthday. It was such a joy to see her there with all her friends. But I was talking with a lady there, a lady not much younger than myself, and we're talking about years ago when we were brought up, about how, you know, you can say, oh, things were difficult, but they're a lot simpler. No, we didn't have a lot of Moncons, and of course we were talking about we had the old pan man, there was no sewer and no toilet roll, and my grandchildren are just aghast when I tell them those things, but there were not so many things around. We lived a simpler life. Now, life has improved in a lot of ways, and we've got a lot of things, a lot of its and gadgets and whatever. But you see, we've got to be careful those things don't draw us away from God, because there are so many things for young people to choose today. You know, we can have a meeting and we pray people are going to come, but they've either got sport they've got to go to, or they've got some TV program they've got to watch, or there's some opera on in the city or whatever else. But you see, it's about choice. It's about choice. Jesus Christ didn't think, oh, I've got something else to do today. God, I won't go on the cross today. Maybe I'll do it next Tuesday. When the Father called him, he was ready to go. So what's first in your heart? Where do you want to be? And you see, it's not a matter of going because we have to be there. I want to be where God is. Now, that doesn't mean he's not with me in my home. He is. But I want to be where there's a gathering of believers. You know, even when we go away on holiday, we want to go and have fellowship. We want to have fellowship. We love meeting other people. But we want to be in God's house and have fellowship. But you see, so many things can draw you away. There are so many things that people are caught up in. Philippians says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Do you know that in the Greek, the word for nothing in that verse means there are no exceptions? So in other words, there are no exceptions that you cannot praise and give glory to God. But as I said, there are many people that get caught up in other things. They get caught up in things that bring them pleasure. And all of those things are good, but they're not to be first. We need to work our life around. But even if we are at those things, who do we become? Who do we become when we are doing other things? Those things are good and we can enjoy them, but our heart still needs to be connected to our Lord, to be with him, because when we're out and about, we need his covering, we need his protection, we need to be in connection with him. I really believe that God inhabits the praise of his people, as he says in Psalm 22. And so if you want God to inhabit, if you want God to come, we'll praise him. Don't give him a great list of what you want him to do, but praise him, give him glory, give him thanksgiving. I can't understand how, I still can't, and this is not meant to offend anybody, but how anybody can stand like this morning and sing those choruses and not get involved. I can't understand it. Now, I've had people say to me, oh, it's all right, I don't have to raise my hands. I'm singing and I acknowledge God in my heart. Do you know if any one of you went to a swimming carnival and your children were swimming, what would you be doing? Come on, come on. People go to the tennis and the football and they rave. And when something touches your heart, you have to be actively involved. It's a natural process, is it not? Now, when you are standing in the presence of an Almighty God, are you thinking about the words that you're saying? Because if you were, you would be actively involved. I can't help but, no matter how much they're aching, to lift them up. And as I lift them up, the ache disappears because I'm centered on Him. It's all about Him, not me. And so this morning, that's my challenge to you. Where are you when we come together to sing and praise? We're not just singing. We're singing words that are powerful. Open my eyes, O God. Open my heart. Are you wanting God to open your heart? Are you really seeing through your spiritual eyes that we're connecting with God? Do you want God to do, you know, sometimes I hear people say, oh, we've got to be careful if we ask our friends to come along and everyone's speaking in tongues and praising, they'll think we're crazy. Well, we are crazy. Crazy for God. But do you know, in my experience, and it's a long one now, and I can really stand and say this, and a lot of ministry to people, do you know what people are more dismayed about? Because we don't look any different to them. Because we bring them in and they think they're Christians, they've got the answers, and we stand there. Open my eyes, oh God. Open my heart to see all the wonders and the power of your name. Where's there any power? Am I any different to that person? They need to see that we're bringing them to a God who makes us different, that can make them different, that can show them. The Word of God says that we're living in the last days, where the Spirit of God has been poured out fully. He's there at our disposal. We are to be seeing miracles. We are to be seeing awesome things happen amongst us. We are to be dancing and praising and rejoicing. And that is when the manifold witness and the presence of God comes down upon us. But He won't come if we're half-baked. He won't come if we're not really into things, because we're not calling Him down. And as I said, I see people so motivated to other things. And we want to see healings. We want to see transformations happening. But we don't. And as I said, it amazes me. Amazes me. I can't explain it. And it doesn't mean I don't get excited. If I go and see one of my grandchildren in a sports event, I'm right there. But not as much as I'm right here. The feeling when I'm watching them is cheering them on, encouraging, and there's an emotion. But when I'm here, it's a spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And yet I see people that wouldn't dare raise their hands in church. There's a member, extended, way out member of our family, who I know is absolutely baseball crazy. And he calls us butterfly catchers, because we're Pentecostal and we raise our hands. Now, he believes in God, but you want to see him in a match, and you want to hear him talk about it. It's all talked up for the week before and then all talked up the week after, and that's where he lives. So he's never going to know the freedom of being able to raise his hands. I don't care if he calls me a butterfly catcher. Couldn't care less. I'm not catching butterflies. I'm getting in touch with the Spirit of God, the power of God, the enormity of God. But you see, that's what it's like. So how can you get excited about a bit of leather and you don't get excited about this God who created us and who created the universe? So when you feel discouraged and the spirit of confusion tries to invade your thinking, if you begin to praise, and that's the sacrifice of praise, that's when we're really downcast, like this family when they got the news that their dear wife and mother was going to be taken from them. While they trust God and praise Him, there is sorrow in parting with those that you love. But they went into an attitude of praise, and that's how they're able. And God will carry them. They will have their times of crying and missing her, but it won't be that deep grief of agony of why did you take her, God? There won't be those questions. There will be this anointing that comes upon them. Joy means delight. It means pleasure, enjoyable bliss, ecstasy, elation, happiness, joyfulness. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Your strength in times of difficulty, in financial problems, in health problems, in marriage problems, in teenage problems. Yes, we've got to face the issues, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome, by praising God and giving him the situation and resting it with him. The Bible says that everything has been put in our hands. Strength is effectiveness to succeed and achieve strength that makes you progressively better. We offer this type of sacrifice, singing melodies, dancing, reciting psalms, and declaring aloud the things that are not as though they are. Smiling, laughing, clapping our hands, and rejoicing in the Lord about what he says to us and about us. Prayer changes us. And so praise and worship usher in the manifold, manifest presence of God. Do you want that in your life? You know, the Bible says our praise puts the enemy to flight. Just with praising. Not just mouth out, really praising him. How do we praise? The Bible says we praise with our voice, by declaring the power of God, the enormity of God. I praise with my body, by getting involved, by allowing the Spirit to surge up within me, that I want to reach out up into the heavens and praise him. I praise him with music as I sing. Psalm 150 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with strings and instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with cymbals clashing. I remember many years ago when I first became a Christian, I went to a Presbyterian church. And I remember I was just so excited about the things of God. And there was a lady at the church that said to John, we need to put the blinkers on her, because I was too excited. And in those days, the hymns, some of the hymns were beautiful, but you just stood there. And I remember all of this would be surging up inside of me, and I'd feel like moving, and then I'd look and I'd see someone looking at me. So I didn't understand the things of the Spirit or anything, but I only knew what was going on inside of me. And you see, for a long time in the church, that was tried to be snuffed down. It was almost like a fear of being abandoned, and people are like that today. It's like, what will I look like? Well, who cares what I look like? As long as God sees me, I don't care what you think I look like. I don't think I'm elegant and dance around, but I praise God with everything that is within me. And God sees that and he loves that. We need to praise God with our emotion, as I said. We cannot get into a situation that stirs us, that there's no emotion. God has made us emotional people. And so when you can sit and watch a movie and cry, because I do, it brings emotion in you. How is it that we can't feel emotion when we're in the presence of this God? We do it with our life. In 1 Corinthians 10:31 it says, therefore, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If we did that, our lives would be in a much better state. We need to offer him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and joy, and see what it does in your life. God is an awesome God, and he does awesome things. Just a couple of psalms to read to you. It says in Psalm 101-5, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come with thanksgiving. Wake up with thanksgiving. Praise him. Thank him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Do you want to see your generations? Do you want to see your generations? Well, let your children see you praising God. Let your children see you praying to Him. Let your children see you praising Him, even asking for a car park, asking Him for every situation. Do you know one of the greatest things that is lacking in families today, and it's to the world it's nothing, but do you know our meal together is a very, very powerful time? When we come together to eat, it's like having communion together. And families don't eat together now. Very many families don't eat together, and sadly I see Christians that don't. We should sit down and give thanks. Give thanks to God for this food. And it'll make such a difference, not only to the way that we eat and enjoy the food and the way we digest the food, but the fellowship. There's such wonderful joy. We love coming around a table. Now, still. And when our family come home, we just love it. We just love it. My granddaughter, Georgia, came down for Cherie's birthday and she spent the night with us. And she's gone this morning. But she said to me, "Grandma, I love having a meal here. I love having a meal with you. It's so intimate and so meaningful." We should be giving God the praise. Psalm 135, 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to His name, for He is lovely. He is altogether lovely. And finally, Psalm 145, 1 to 4. I will extol you, my God, O my King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works, another and another shall declare your mighty acts. What a promise. What a promise. And you know, Jesus said before His crucifixion, "If you don't praise me, the rocks will rise up." And in the studies at Grow Groups, in out of Ephesians, trying to bring how we are God's greatest joy. He created us, but He created the universe, and He loves it. And if we don't know how to praise Him, if we don't know how to look after our own lives, we won't look after our existence. And they're the things that need to change today, and the world needs to see those things. So we need to know that as we stand in praise to God, God brings change to our lives. When we stand and give praise to God, the enemy flees. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, lives in you. And that power is to glorify God for no other reason. It's not to make things easy for you, but it's to praise Him in all things. Now, it doesn't mean that things don't come upon us and we feel, "Oh dear." But we need to go and praise God for His grace and know that He's there in that situation. If we don't bring Him into that situation, we bind Him. We bind Him. And so we need to praise God and give Him all the glory. Just finally, you know, David teaches us a lot. When David sinned with Bathsheba, God forgave him. And around just before that, Saul, who was king, he got himself into a mess. But both men cried out to God. But Saul cried out to God, "Restore me and give me my ministry." He was looking to God for what God could do for him. David cried out and said, my God, I've sinned against you." His heart was about God. See, God is about changing our hearts, that it's no longer about me. That everything that happens, everything I do, everything I see is not relational to me. It's about Him. It's about Him. The focus must be on Him. And so once I get the picture of this great God and how I grieve His heart if I'm not in touch with Him, then doesn't mean I won't make mistakes, because I'll tell you now I will, because I'm still a work in progress, but we will be the more in touch with Him, and He will guide us and show us through his word by his spirit to do less and less of that. So let your language change. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. It's what the body together desires to do in God. It's about who he is and what he's growing in us. I've asked the music team to close if they want to come up. I've asked the music to close with that wonderful chorus that Brennan and Chloe brought to us last week. We will sing, sing, sing. And I want you to really think, in view of the word, I pray, God, that the Spirit of God has touched your heart with his word, not mine, with his call, with his cry. Is it awesome that the God of this universe would cry out for you, would cry out for me, would long to have relationship with you? When we think we're so little and we don't matter, when it matters to God. And so how can we sing this song without getting actively involved? We will sing, sing, sing and make music with the heavens. We are connecting with the heavenly realms. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us. Are you grateful that God hears you? Because I am. I am so grateful that he hears me. Everything I say, every beat of my heart he hears. We will shout your praise and lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one we're living for. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a burning Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. So let's really enter in and sing this morning. Let's lift off the roof. Let's bring heaven down. Let the Lord know how we adore him and how we want to sing his praises in Jesus' name. If anybody needs prayer this morning,